to KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host today, as usual. Today is Sunday, November 2nd, and we are streaming worldwide. You can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567. All of the shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview Destiny Fellowship. The Tea Party stands for limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution, all of the things that we haven't been doing for quite some time. You can watch...
think there might be a problem with that, huh?
Maybe. I'm in the studio here with my sister Linda.
Good morning.
Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
And let's see, on Saturday, I think we're going to be, well, actually, it's going to start being on Sunday now. I believe it'll probably start next week. Jefferson State of Mind will be on at Sunday morning at 8 p.m. now.
Is that yes, right? I believe that's what we're doing.
And so, there's going to be some switching around in the lineup, and, stay tuned. We want to make sure that we have all of the switches.
Yeah,
properly.
With us. It may take us a little bit, but that's what it looks like. Yeah. Is we're going to put Jefferson State of Mind over on Sunday, and Sovereign Minds is going to run a little bit longer than an hour.
So Sovereign Minds is going to start from 10 and go to 12 now, it sounds like. Is that correct?
Nine to 11.
Oh, 9 to 11.
Nine to 11.
Yeah. That's why I was hesitant to announce this, because I knew that I would probably screw it up.
And you did.
And
so
sure enough.
So let's recap that. Sovereign Minds will be 9 to 11, and State of Jefferson
State of Mind.
Mine will be 8 to 9. Hey, we'll get it yet, guys.
And she screwed it up, too, so yeah. We're even. Shasta Lantern, we want to encourage you to read that paper. The new edition is coming out for November. You can go to Shasta Lantern.
Okay.
We're doing well this morning. www.shastalantern.com. Okay. The quote of the day. I am not afraid of an army of lions led by sheep. I'm afraid of an army of sheep led by a lion. That's Alexander the Great.
Oh, there you
and
go.
So that kind of, you think about that one, sort of makes sense. Do we have a lion? No, actually, we don't have a lion leading sheep. We kind of have the sheep leading the sheep at this point. But
sheeples.
What was that, Bob?
Be careful, Bob.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay. I was going to say, be careful. Do I have to run over and hit the button or not? You know?
Yeah, there you go.
No, you don't have to hit the button. But it wasn't exactly...
It wasn't
politically correct.
It wasn't politically correct, or for family listening. No, maybe not.
It was a different four-legged animal. Oh.
We're not always politically correct, anyhow. So there you go.
I didn't know those things had legs, but.
Good boy.
Anyway, so do we have any veterans?
I do. I have quite a few coming up with the holidays and stuff. I want to let people know that November is Military Family Month. Also, on the 8th of November, we have the Veterans Parade in Shasta Lake City at 10 a.m. On the 10th, we have a potluck and a movie we're going to be showing at the Tea Party. The movie's going to be America, so if you haven't seen it, you may want to come out and join us on the 10th for that. It's a great movie. Also, November 10th is the Marine Corps birthday, 239 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's on November 10th. Then, of course, November 11th is Veterans Day, and we'll having events and ceremonies out at the cemetery. It start at 10:55 in Igo. And then on December 13th, we have Wreaths Across America. We will be laying those wreaths at 11 a.m. just to let people know there's about 6,000 veterans that we have out at IGO that we honor during that process. On December 14th, we have Christmas for the Troops. We're holding that this year at the Senior Citizen Hall at 2290 Bitten Drive. Tickets are $15. That just covers the cost for us to get the boxes over to the deployed men and women. And then December 20th, we have the Servicemen's Feast at the Veterans Hall. That's at 1605 Yuba Street. I also wanted to let them know, the veterans out there know, if you go to www.militarywallet.com, this will show you all the different restaurants and places they can get discounted food or free food or discounts for being a veteran this month. So go there and check it out. Yeah.
Hoorah, there you go.
Yeah, because like Cattleman has got, you know, you can get an 8-ounce sterling for free.
Wow, makes me want to play the Battle Hymn of the Republic or no, the Marine Corps hymn.
Either way. There's good stuff.
There's a lot of good stuff going on out there, so we encourage you all to participate and get involved and help your veterans or be a veteran getting some help.
Yeah.
So with that, I guess we've got some news items here, and before we get to the break, a couple things here. The White House is keeping Obama prices a secret until after the election. Or, I'm sorry, Obamacare prices. So, yeah, Obama prices. Well, it's all...
It's pretty much the same.
It's all priced in, you know. And then we got White House hides 78% increase in premium cost till after the election.
Wow.
Yeah, these guys, they...
no smoke and mirrors going on
here.
Yeah,
they would never lie to us or deceive us or... do anything wrong, would they? The Obama administration has finally unveiled its new and improved version of healthcare.gov site last week. The new online face of Obama's illegal, trillion-dollar healthcare takeover is not as utterly dysfunctional, incompetent, or embarrassing as the original, which cost the taxpayers $2.1 billion, but as Investors Business Daily reported on Tuesday, something is conspicuously absent from the site. The prices.
Conveniently, the website isn't working once again.
Hey, they were blindsided, and they never saw it coming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's typical. Well, this is by design, according to the article here. This article comes in from theexaminer.com. You can go to theexaminer.com, and the author is Robert Moon, conservative editor. And this is by design, he says. Despite everything we did or everything we were told about this law, it has exploded premiums and health care costs for consumers across the board, and voters are being deliberately kept from seeing just how bad it is until after the elections. Say it ain't so.
Yeah.
Really? This administration is the most devious, deceptive, dishonest.
But they promise they won't do it again.
Things without legs.
Yeah.
That you've ever seen. They walk, they talk, they crawl on their bellies. And
they slither.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. So premium costs will now be conveniently kept off until the second week of November, similar to the open enrollment period during which Democrats rescue those who become uninsured because of Obamacare while congratulating themselves on their wildly exaggerated 7 million enrollment number, which is still only a tiny fraction of the uninsured. I'm saying, you know something, what's the remember the old movie Glory where they were handing out the pay stubs and they were all shorted?
Yep.
I'm saying tear it up. That's where I'm at. Tear it up. I'm not doing it. You guys make your own decision, but I'm thinking I'm going into non-compliance mode. You guys can pound sand as far as I'm concerned and take your Obamacare.
Well, it's just, it's not law, right? It's a tax, they said. Correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's just a tax. So.
It's a tax. It's a fee. It's not. It is. We don't know. We're not sure what
how
the
much
prices
it's
going to
cost
are.
You. We'll just take your paycheck.
Yeah.
Any problem there?
Slavery always comes bearing gifts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there you have it.
Let's move along to the next exhibit.
Moving along to the next article. Okay. The Federal Reserve is officially ending its quantitative easing money creation program. Can we do a raspberry? No, I don't think so. You really? Do you guys believe these guys? I mean, the only thing holding up the stock market is them, you know, basically printing money. And so it's
just, yeah. Don't let the prices of gas, you know, gas dropped a lot this last week, and people are probably going, "Hey, look, things are getting better." But
everything's
really
getting
not.
Better, right? Yeah,
not I mean,
it's
really.
It's kind of like the tide going out right before the tsunami comes in and washes everybody off the island.
Yeah,
you know, this comes from the economic collapse. From this day forward, we will watch this how the stock market performs without the Fed's monetary heroin. Yeah, well, you can just about count on that these guys are, you know, poking money into the system. It's baloney. We'll have, you know, QE4, some version of it, or if they're not doing it already, you know, nobody seems to mention the president's plunge protection team, which is, you know, the Treasury, the Fed, and a couple of high banking CEOs like, Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan guys in there, making sure that the market doesn't collapse. And so, yeah, these, you know, it should be troubling to all Americans that this unelected, unaccountable body of central bankers has far more power over our economy than anyone else does. You know, during the election season, no, they couldn't be holding the stock market up falsely until after the election, would they?
No, they wouldn't do that.
No, they would never do that. They would never lie about Obamacare. They would never, I mean, come on, really? So, moving right along to our next story, whistleblowers, IRS officials behind fraudulent multi-billion dollar corporate tax giveaway. this comes from the rawstory.com. Aren't these the same guys, you know? I mean, you got the IRS guys working in conjunction with the big corporations who just happened to control the house that was built by Beelzebub? No. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the White House. And so, so it's a real problem. And a 10-year veteran, this is a whistleblower from inside the Internal Revenue Service, a 10-year Internal Revenue Service attorney. Okay, this is not just some schmo out there pounding the beat, collecting up tax money for those good guys.
I didn't know.
Yeah. This guy is an attorney, and he has demanded a congressional audit of the IRS to investigate the agency's alleged role in allowing American corporations to illegally avoid paying billions of dollars in taxes at the same time the agency is cracking down on individuals and small business. Oh, no, we got to get those evil rich guys. Only the evil rich guys don't pay. And us evil small little businessmen, mom and pop shops do? Oh, what? Did I miss something in the narrative?
Yeah, you could have.
I must have, because, I thought we were supposed to go after all the evil rich guys, only the evil rich guys is us, and then there's us, we is them, and then, you know, we've met the enemy, and they is us, only it's them. Really?
Right.
Yeah. So there you have it. So a letter to Treasury Secretary Jackie Lou, IRS Commissioner. I'm sorry. I had a little something in my throat there. And John A. Oh, Bob's losing it over there. Be careful.
Yeah, don't fall out of the chair. It'll be okay.
Yeah, John A. Koskinen. I'm not sure if you – Koskinen. I'm not sure what you do with that one. Koskinen.
Be careful.
How do you say that? Excuse me. I'm sorry. I think I'm catching something. And IRS Chief Counsel William Wilkins, Jane J. Kim, Jung Il. No, this is another one. James J. Kim, not Jung Il. James J. Kim on mentally ill? I don't know. An attorney at the IRS Office of the Chief Counsel of New York accused IRS executives of deliberately – those are the good guys. I'm sorry. Jane J. and William Wilkins are the good guys. And they're the chief counsel, William Wilkins. It's the other guys, the Koskinen and the Jack Lugie, Jacob Lugie, that are the Treasury Secretary. That's the problem. They're accused of deliberately facilitating multi-billion dollar tax giveaway. This letter, dated October 19th, will add further pressure on the agency, which is under fire for alleged targeting of conservatives and Tea Party groups. We know what happened with the decision last week.
They promised that they will never do it again.
Yeah, they didn't do anything.
No, we're sorry.
It's like a kid spilling grape juice on the couch. I didn't do it. What grape juice?
What are you talking about? Yeah. Wasn't me. Him.
I guess we got to go to a break.
Yeah, we have to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
The network won't treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me here on KCNR 1460 AM at 6 p.m. on Thursday nights for On the Spot with Linda Bott. You'll hear wonderful interviews with musicians, artists, winemakers, chefs, business owners, and designers, just to name a few. Girls just want to have fun, and we do. Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here with On the Spot with Linda Bott. Brought to you by La Tida Salon, Dandelion Boutique, Craftmaster Windshield and Repair, and Wind River Casino and Hotel.
Chris, November 11th, Haven's monthly second Tuesday club meets in Wind River Casino.
We're gaming?
No, eating. Join our Haven Humane supporters Tuesday, November 11th at Wind River Casino in Elements Restaurant or Creekside Grill. Your support will allow Haven to continue to help thousands of animals with shelter and homes as Wind River kindly donates a portion of the proceeds from both restaurants to Haven's efforts.
Wow, two locations? We're really coming up in the world.
You know, sometimes you really scare me.
Only sometimes?
Orchard Nutrition Center buys locally to not only support our North State growers and vendors, but buying locally also reduces the time from grower to market, which ensures that your family has the freshest, most nutritious products available.
My name is Pam Giacomini. I'm with Hat Creek Grown Beef up in Hat Creek. Orchard Nutrition Center has been showcasing our product for several years, and we are now their exclusive grass-fed beef producer. They're also cooking our deli rounds in their deli and produce their roast beef sandwiches out of it. Working with the crew here is just fantastic. We really appreciate their work with us and their embracement of local products and good local producers.
Hi, I'm Richard Bloom. We manufacture the MSM Health Solutions products in Anderson, California. It's really good to see a local company like Orchard getting behind manufacturers locally and helping us to produce here locally to sell our products locally.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store. Visit them at 221 Locust Street in Reading or on the web at orchardnutrition.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
The tax man's taken all my dough and left me in my stately home, blazing on a sunny afternoon. And I can't sail my yacht. He's taken everything I got. All I've got's this sunny afternoon. Save me, save me, save me from this squeeze. I got a big fat mama trying to break me.
I love this song.
And I love to live so pleasantly. Live this life of luxury, blazing on a sunny afternoon.
Well, I guess we probably should get on here and start talking. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I think it might be a
you
good
think
idea.
That might be appropriate.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm still so.
So
mad about the whistleblower thing, you know. We've got Jane J. Kim and William Wilkins, who are the good guys, and, you know, the attorneys in the IRS Office of the Chief Counsel in New York. You know, Kim, who has previously blown the whistle on gross waste of government resources in the New York field offices, wrote in her new letter that senior IRS officials have intentionally undermined the authority of the IRS whistleblower office. No, really? These guys don't punish whistleblowers, do they?
No.
I mean, can you say Fast and Furious? Can you say Benghazi?
It just goes on and on. It doesn't stop.
Lois Lerner, you know, blah, blah, blah. It just goes on and on. So these guys nobody ever seems to get punished. Nobody ever seems to lose their job. People get raises, unless you're a whistleblower, of course, and then you get fired. And anybody that tells on these guys. So wasn't that
anybody that tells the truth?
Yeah. So wasn't that the old Saul Alinsky thing Obama always talked about, you know, reward your friends and punish your enemies. Doesn't it seem like a lot of friends are getting rewarded and a lot of people that are telling the truth are getting punished? Maybe the people who are telling the truth are the enemies. Hmm, interesting.
Yeah, it might be.
Well, could be, could be.
Yeah, you never know.
The attorney's letter was copied and sent to Jason Foster, Chief Investigative Counsel of the Senate Committee on the Judiciary, as well as several other senators, congressional representatives, including Elizabeth Warren, Maxine Waters, Alan Grayson, Bernie Sanders, Charles Grassley, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, and Ted Cruz. Now, I'm going to say the last three, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, and Ted Cruz, might actually be worth the paper it's written on, but Elizabeth Warren, Maxine Waters, Alan Grayson, Bernie Sanders, Charles Grassley, I don't know. I guess that's up to you. So, we'll move on to the next story while we wait for our guests who might never show up while we dance and spin.
Patrick is on his way. We thought we were going to have a couple other people in first thing this morning. So
okay.
I told him about 10:30, but he is on his way.
Okay. I guess I was dancing and you were spinning because she stood up. She's like spinning around in the room. Trying to get someone
in there. Just trying to make things happen.
I'm not sure what she's doing. The IRS, here's the next story. This is from the Raw story. You can go to the-raw-story.blogspot.com. And a nonprofit news blog focused on providing independent journalism. Imagine that. We need independent journalism from the mainstream. Who'd have thought?
Yeah, what we need is real journalism, which we don't get very often.
Are you telling me that Fox News doesn't tell the truth all the time or tell us everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Just about anything off of the TV. I mean, you really have to research your sources or where it's coming from.
That's not to say Fox News never comes out with anything good. What I'm saying is that they don't come out with everything good. There's a difference. Okay. When there's big stories that get just kind of blackout. You know,
they get buried and
never
get buried
and never see the day of life.
You mean there's a problem with that?
I don't know. Some of these things, like we've been talking about with, you know, the plunge protection team and the coercion and, you know, geez, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a malcontent, you know, a disgruntled hater.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I'll try to keep it under control from now on. So
I believe that one.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. The Raw story. IRS. If this doesn't make you mad, you're probably not an American. You're probably a communist who thinks he's American. IRS seizes hundreds of perfectly legal bank accounts and refuses to give the money back. Okay. The Internal Revenue Service has been seizing bank accounts belonging to small businesses and individuals who regularly made deposits of less than $10,000, but broke no laws, and the government is refusing to return all the money taking. The practice called civil asset forfeiture, which we will be talking about more in months and weeks and days to come, allows the IRS to seize property they suspect of being tied to a crime. And you know what's interesting is they charge the property, not you. So
they charged a property.
Yeah. So if you look at the court case, it'll say like, you know, United States versus 82 Federal Reserve notes with denominations of $100.
Oh, really?
And then, you know, they have to defend themselves. No, it's true. We're going to get more into this. But they charge the property, and it's up to you to prove that the property has not been taken through illegal means. You know, so the agency to seize property being tied to a crime, even if no charges are filed. See, they don't file charges against the people. They file charges against the property saying, you're illegal. And we're taking you because you're illegal. And their agency is allowed to keep a share of whatever is forfeited.
Really?
Excuse me. Yeah.
So you don't see any motive here or anything for them to be doing this,
they have
right?
no dog in the hunt. I'm going to have a video on this next week, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it. Elvis is in the building, but I'm going to finish the story here.
You know, before yes. you go on, I wanted to let people know, we've had a lot of calls about the IRS supposedly calling people, and I just want to get that out there while we're on the IRS, that, they don't call you. So, you know, and they're, you know, the people are threatening, saying, I'm from the IRS, and if you don't comply and give us money, we're going to come arrest you and stuff.
You know,
don't let it bother you.
My two favorite words in that circumstance are pound sand. Okay. That's, you know, that's what I always tell them when they call me, pound sand.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised how many people think that it's a legitimate call and they get all worried and then they call us and say, what do I do? They're going to come arrest me. They say I owe X amount of dollars. It's like, just forget about it. They're not going to come to your door.
Two little words. Pound sand. The IRS doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. They just show up and seize stuff. And if you haven't.
No, they don't seize you. They seize the property.
They just seize property. And I'm going to give this. I got this video that I'm going to queue up. I didn't have time today. We'll do it next week on civil forfeitures. And it shows them, you know, basically it's a parody on TV that shows, gee, they're charging the house with the crime. So they come up and they lock the doors up. They put handcuffs on the door and they say, you don't move. Well, you know, it's resisting arrest. We need backup, you know. But they're actually charging the property.
You have the right to remain silent.
You have the right to remain silent.
No
anything
speaking.
anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. We're not charging anything. Anyway, it's not illegal to deposit less than $10,000 in cash unless it's specifically done to avoid triggering federal reporting requirements, which is known as structuring. Thus, banks are required to report any suspicious transactions to authorities, including patterns of deposits that are below the threshold. Of course, these patterns are also exhibited by small businesses like bodegas and family restaurants whose cash on hand is only insured up to $10,000 and whose owners are wary of what would be lost in case of a robbery and so forth. So, you got restaurants that are depositing on a regular basis less than $10,000, and there's a case in Iowa where the IRS just come in and took $33,000 out of this lady's account,
there's no lawlessness going on there,
no charges and so forth. And we'll get into some of the sheriff and the drugs and the local forfeitures where they just come in. Got another guy, he was coming from Michigan to California. You know, he gets pulled over. How much money do you got? $2,400 in cash. Okay, it's under arrest because they think you're going to California to score drugs. By the way, I need a new Glock. And a margarita machine for the office.
Yeah.
Don't we all?
Yeah, we do. Before January, too.
It's true. Well, with that, I've got a couple more stories, but let's introduce our guest. He's here today, Patrick Jones. He's running for city council. And good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on this morning.
Oh, I guess he was already there. Now he's trying to get back there.
And he's
again.
Trying to be reelected.
There you have it.
Yeah, no, it's been an honor for me to serve these last 8 years on Reading City Council. And, unfortunately, the jobs that we need to do have not been completed. And so I'm running for a third term to make sure that we keep the city on track. And right now, when you consider that in post-retirement health care, unfunded liabilities are around $120 million unfunded, and then our pension obligations are around $360 million unfunded, they're going to need guys like me moving forward. And it's really why I'm still in here, and it's why we need more people like us in order to solve these problems. These problems are very solvable, and we owe it to our employees and we owe it to the citizens of Reading to make sure that we do our fiduciary responsibility and run this city correctly, because today it is not, but we can correct it, and it just takes some backbone in order to do that, and that's why I'm still here. And we're getting a great response as we wrap up this campaign. I've been so fortunate to have so many people come out and walk with me week after week, night after night, and we've been getting a great response. So I'm very, very happy with the campaign and finishing up here in the last couple days. And as always, in late October, it gets a little nasty. There gets to be a little mudslinging.
No.
In Reading, California?
And I was hoping we could just skip all of that. But, particularly with Missy's comment, on Facebook, and then the Reading Peace Officers Association, their negative ads, and I've had to respond to those. And it's unfortunate.
You got Weaver in the in Golfgate, and it's like, can't we all just get along?
Well, it's unfortunate that we have to go negative, and it's unfortunate that some have chosen to do that. I would rather stay focused on the issues and the things that we must correct for the livability, and I think we owe that to the people of Reading and our city. And the negativity, I think, most people turn the other way, and it ends up having a backlash effect.
Backfiring.
And so try to stay positive. On the rising crime issue, we've got to start doing things differently than what we've done. And I'm willing to spend more money with the police department to put more police on the streets. I'm willing to take a look at volunteers, very much so, and I'm getting very good feedback with that. I'm willing to expand the cadet program. I'm willing to create a reserve program. And these are all things that I've been discussing weekly with the chief. chief. And we have to do these things or crime will continue to rise out of control.
Now, was that every week?
It's been every week, whether the chief likes it or not. Every week I've been meeting with the chief. And while we did have some early scheduling conflicts, both the chief had to cancel a meeting and I've had to cancel several because of the debate schedule was hot and heavy there for a while. We have been meeting weekly. In fact, Monday, we'll have our sixth meeting, and Tuesday, so tomorrow we'll have our sixth meeting, and then Tuesday we will report back to council on November 4th on election night. And so I'm looking forward to that discussion, and I think the chief has got some very good ideas in his action plan, and we've agreed on many of the things. So we're very happy about that, and that's all coming up here very soon.
All right, and with that, we need to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Hello, this is Dr. Todd Royce, your downtown Reading chiropractor. Join me every second Saturday at 10 a.m. for Positively Healthy Radio. We discuss almost any health topic you can think of from a different point of view than a pill for every ill and a potion for every emotion. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Would you like to have more energy? Would you like to avoid the headaches, sicknesses, infections, and diseases that so many are seeming to get? We talk about all those topics and more every second Saturday. Join us at 10 a.m. on 1460 KCNR.
Proof that kindness is the best medicine. The 2013-2014 Consumer Choice Award. If you're looking for a hospital with a proven track record for community preference, you don't have to look far. Mercy Medical Center Reading has received National Research Corporation's Consumer Choice Award for 7 consecutive years. Because providing health care with kindness means everyone wins. Learn more at reading.mercy.org. Hello, human kindness.
Hello, Frank Muse with Norton Lights Energy. Kathy and I would like to thank all of our customers who pay their bills on time. The delivery drivers are back from the fires and filling a lot of kerosene tanks, so don't wait till winter. Kathy has a lot of 1 gallon to 2.5 gallon propane bottles for all the campers and hunters. They're a lot easier to handle. We are doing a lot more wet hosing on construction sites for those who don't want to worry about fuel on site. Give Danny a call. Kathy and Johnny still have 1 or 2 used heaters left. They're going quick. If you need a new gauge or a filter on your kerosene tank, be sure to let us know and we'll bring one out with your next delivery. Northern Lights Energy, Corning, Weaverville, and Reading. Family owned, small business, and great people. Not a lot of answering machines. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Now you swear, kicking Vegas, that you're not a gambling man. Then you'll find your black in Vegas with a handle in your hand. Your black cards can make you money, so you hide them when you're able. In the
Jack. You always did like that Steely Dan stuff. You're going to have to play Patrick's favorite song.
Bo Cephas.
Got to play Bo Cephas on the next round. Country boy can't survive. We can do that. So cue that up.
We can do a lot of things.
We can do whatever we want. We are in control. Do not adjust your set. I wanted to talk about the Patriot Act real quick before we go. and then get to our phone guest. Terry's on the line. The Patriot Act, this just came in. This is actually coming from G. Edward Griffin's website, and the original is from EFF.org. And the Patriot Act authorizes the government to do sneak and peek secret searches without knowledge of the victim. This was sold to Congress as necessary to protect America from terrorism. But the problem is, out of 11,000 sneak and peek searches, only 51 were allegedly for terrorists, and the rest was on the American people. Just saying. Okay.
Must have been in cahoots with the flashlight app on your phone.
Yeah, and, you know, the Department of Justice, you know, Section 213. Of course, you know, who's in charge of the Department of Justice? Who was that? He's, I think, I heard he was resigning.
Oh, you mean with good old Holder?
Oh, that's right. Eric Holder.
We can't use that other
term. Mr. Truth and Justice. Yeah. The one, you're talking about the term with no legs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. And so, with that, have you got a question for our guest, Mr. Caller?
Yeah, I do, and I love your music, man.
Thank you. Thank you. That was Bob today. I totally blew off the music because I lost my computer last week, and I couldn't find my hard drive. And
he just didn't do it.
Yeah.
You rock, Bob. Anyway, yeah, just a couple quick questions.
It was all my music.
Pardon me?
It was all my music. He stole it.
Mark's greatest hits today.
Go ahead, yeah, Patrick, thanks for all you do and as hard as you work. You know, I know it's got to be for the money, right?
Yeah.
But, $400 a month you guys get or whatever it is?
$502.
We're getting paid big bucks out there walking the campaign trail for him. Yeah. Out there on the walking the beat.
Yep, all volunteer walkers. And,
kind of fun to do, though.
It is a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
You know, but anyway, thanks for that. The other thing is, I wanted to, I don't think you've done this yet, but some of the particulars about your community patrol that you're thinking about, and I know you've been talking to the chief about it, and I know you've been meeting with him also. Maybe you could just kind of, fill us in a little bit on how that would look and that type of thing, if you could.
Absolutely.
And I'll just take my, I'll just listen to you off the air.
All right. Thank you, Terry.
Sure.
And, you know, this whole thing started really when council found out that the Crown Victoria, the Ford Crown Victoria, was not going to be made any longer and that we were going to need to be rotating those out and we have to pick a new vehicle. So the department has picked some SUVs and we're starting that rotation out. And so I thought at this point that a lot of these Crown Victorias could be saved and we could encompass those vehicles into a volunteer program and quite possibly maybe into the volunteer program with in conjunction with our Neighborhood Watch program. And when I went back to New York and I walked the whole length of Manhattan, I was able to see what a volunteer program would look like. In fact, that's the largest volunteer program in the whole entire country. But we don't have to look really to New York. We can look all around the city of Reading to places like Anderson and Shingletown and Burney for volunteer programs. In fact, I talked to our old sheriff, Jim Pope, the other day, and at the height of his time, he had 500 volunteers in the sheriff's department. And a volunteer is a person that is not paid. So it's not a cadet or someone else like that. It is an actual volunteer person that does it because we want to improve the quality of our community. And so as we've moved forward with talking about volunteers, I've had a ton of people come forward to say, you know, I would love to be cruising my neighborhood for, a two-hour shift, say two-man cruise, two-hour shift a couple times a month, or maybe once a week even for a lot of the retired folks, and start taking back neighborhood after neighborhood in some vehicles that we're rotating out. And I really thought that was a good idea, and so I brought it up at council, and my colleagues agreed to move forward with the idea, discuss it with the chief, and see what could come out of that. And so we've been meeting now. We'll have met six times come tomorrow. And we'll give our first report back to council on election night on November 4th and see what council thinks. And if we need to work on it a little bit more, we want to do it right. And so no matter how long it takes, whether it's weekly meetings or monthly meetings, we would like to do it correct. And the idea here is to help our communities, help our neighborhoods, help our department improve and reduce crime before it happens. And so volunteers is a part of that. Now, the chief in his action plan has come up with some very unique ideas, And again, I suspect that many, many other cities, and I know many other cities have done some of these. So besides including volunteers in some of our policing, we'd like to take a look at expanding the cadet program. And these guys are paid. They're usually college-educated type kids that are in that range, young adults, often going to Shasta College. And right now we have a great opportunity that Shasta College will pay for 75% of their wage. So we could really expand that cadet program, again, helping the department, which will help the city. And also the chief would like to consider instituting a reserve program. And that's where we have folks that have been in law enforcement. They're post-certified. They've done careers or most of careers in law enforcement, and they can come and volunteer their time. And, again, that would greatly help the department and greatly help the citizens of Reading. We must do some things differently to address the rising crime rate here in the city of Reading. I think those things have some low-cost things to be able to do just that. In addition to that, after this election, obviously if I get reelected, and we'll have some new council members for sure, I would again ask my colleagues to go back department by department, take a look at reductions in non-public safety departments, and redirect those funds to the police department to hire more police officers. So we have the possibility of hiring more police officers, the possibility of creating a volunteer program, the possibility of expanding the cadet program, and the possibility of instituting a reserve program, which we do not have. All those things are good ideas that many other cities and communities use, and I'd like to start doing those now. And I would also consider, one of the candidates in this race is considering using some one-time funds for the police department. I would consider that as well. So we've got a lot of good ideas, and after November 4th, we'll have a little better, clearer picture as to who's going to be there and what our vision is for the city in this area.
Very good. Very good. Sounds like a lot of things are...
Yeah, that's a lot of different options possibly on the table that could make a lot of difference in the community.
You know, each one of those things in it by itself is not going to be the cure-all, but when you add them all up, it will start to reduce crime. And some folks have said, you know, if you have more police officers, that is not going to reduce crime because you're just going to arrest them and the county's going to book them and release them. But the reality is having more police officers, it does create a higher level of deterrent and it does reduce crime. It's been proven to happen. And then also if we're arresting more and we're booking more and they're releasing more, it's going to put pressure on the county that we're going to have to do something different with incarceration. The book and release, this revolving door, is not acceptable. It's creating great harm. I don't think there's a person in our town now that has not been affected by crime here in the last year. Some of us have been hit by it two or three times. And we have to do something differently than what we're doing. Some of those things might take a little bit of money, but I think there's a lot of things that won't cost a lot to do. Now, unfortunately, we've got we have a Reading Peace Officers Association that many of these things are going to have to be a meet and confer. And so I'm hoping to work with them. And while our ads have been taking some jabs at one another, I do believe that after the election that we can sit down and for the betterment of our community enact some of these programs. It will help the department. It will help our officers stay safe. It will allow them to go out and do the more difficult things. And so I'm looking forward to getting through the election cycle and getting to work.
Well, I've always enjoyed a lot of mud wrestling in my time, and you know, so for me, it's actually a pleasure to watch the slinging.
Well, I guess it all depends on that.
Sorry, I'm kind of twisted out that way, but it's been interesting, that's for sure. Listen, I guess we need to probably go to a break, and
right.
Then Mike Quinn is also in the studio, and we want to give equal time if we can to everybody. And so what do you want
to? Yeah, let's go to a break. If you want to call in and have any questions or comments for either one, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Here we go.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. Is up and the stock market down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive.
folks can survive.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I found out where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Fall is in the air, and when I think of a pumpkin latte, I think of Tobacco and Brew and Espresso Joe's. Holiday season is among us. Thinking of a hostess gift or perhaps something for a coworker? Tobacco and Brew carries a wonderful selection of coffee beans, loose tea leaves, and coffee and tea accessories. Tobacco and Brew, locally owned and operated, has been so supportive of our community, so shop local. Check out the largest humidor in the North State. New brands and your favorites always in stock. Tobacco and Brew, and so much more. Open 7 days a week. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew.
A great commercial. You finished? You didn't mention, though, that Tobacco and Brew really supports veterans' issues and the veterans right here in Redding and Shasta County. In fact, hop in the truck. Let's head on down there.
Okay, let's go.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, we welcome Patrick Jones running for re-election for Redding City Council. Let's find out what Patrick's vision is for the city for the next 4 years. VFW also joins us, and we're going to do a catch-up of what happened this weekend and the future of politics right here in Shasta County. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town's more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport, to the train station perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Sovereign Mind Radio, we're back, unafraid. We were just talking over the break, and they say some of the best radio is on the break. And,
yep.
You know, our little quote was, I'm not afraid of an army of lions led by sheep, and I'm afraid of an army of sheep led by lions, Alexander the Great. Well, we won't say who, but someone said that, you know, it was a jackass leading all of the sheep. And then someone else commented and said it was, no, it wasn't a jackass. It was a lying jackass. So it was a lion jackass.
So there you go, folks.
Just saying.
You know the bottom line on that one.
Yeah, we're not going to implicate anybody in that one.
No. So with that, we will welcome Mike Quinn into the studio.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Great.
The fun never stops. So
the fun will come to an end, unfortunately.
Hopefully
it's in the end that we want.
Yeah, I think that's when the fun starts.
Right.
It could.
Absolutely. You know, the campaign
is going to start right off.
It's going to start. Yeah. So, I think it's already started. So what do you think, Mike? What do you got to tell us about what's been going on? How's it going on out there as far as the campaign?
You know, I'm hearing good things from people. And, you know, I want to thank everybody who's been out there walking, been out there calling. I've reached out with the emails and the phone calls and been on the phone constantly with people, and then they turn around and reach out to the people that, you know, that they know, and the word's getting out, and, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you have, how many signs you've got, it's the message, and I think that's getting through, that we need somebody who's got that financial experience and is able to take this city and put it in the, make the city run within the means of the city. so that they just can't raise rates and raise things that they want to when they feel like it. It's what can we afford and how do we spend it? And how do we get involved with, you know, capital, everything from capital projects to, I mean, there's money there. We just need to go through and really do strong budgeting. And I think that's
have
where,
a real budget. Like
that, have a real budget.
Well, who's, concept. You know, who's in charge of that? Is it the city council or is it the city staff?
City council's got to approve it.
So the city council has been approving it up to this point.
We can set that. We can set the rules for them, and we can say that, you know, capital projects all end at the end of the year, and you know, make sure that those go. A lot of money spent on capital projects, and do we really need a new billing system for our electric bills that doesn't work? It doesn't work. We spent $3 million plus another $500,000 to implement it. It doesn't work. So why did we spend it in the first place? Our old bills were just fine. That money needs to go back in and, you know, get rid of debt. You know, another thing is debt. Why are we getting into debt to the extent that we are? It doesn't need to happen.
Well, you know, it's a lot of it, too, is the the staff, I don't know how we fix it at this point. I understand promises have been made. But if you look across the board, I mean, there's some people making some bank on the unfunded liabilities plus their salaries and so forth. And that seems to be a huge problem that's not going to go away.
Well, the salary versus their pay are two different things. You know, they can have a salary of $90,000, but with overtime, they get up to $110,000 or more. So you have to look at, you know, the savings there of not having more people paying overtime. I can differentiate there. But it's just the way that, you know, it's the ghost employees that are put in the budget and all that. So then for to get more money and that, there's all kinds of things that are going on. And as the RU commissioner who was put in there for finances, I know what's going on and I know how to stop it.
So what do you think, in your opinion, is the biggest issue in this election, what, as far as the city council goes? What is the one thing that you think is the most important thing that needs to be fixed?
I changed my mind, you know, three quarters of the way through the debates, and at first I said crime, just like everybody else, but it's not. It's this city is torn apart. It's torn to shreds. There's everybody's fighting over everything. They've divided families. They've divided people who used to be friends, and you can't vote this way. You can't vote that way. We need to come together. We need to somehow have everybody truly in their hearts and their minds come together and say, Reading, where are we going and what are we going to do? And the city council needs to take the lead on that. We have got to show that we are going to work together as a team. We will have differences, but you know what? We're going to have our differences and we're going to be able to air them civilly and we're going to air them with facts and have real debates and let the people become involved in the process so that they get a voice in what's going to be happening at the city council meetings. And it's really important that we come together.
Do you think that's going to be happening? Is the policy going to change about when the public comment is? Is it still at the end of the meetings, or is that going to change?
No, more important than the public comment is the fact that, you know, they put something out on a Thursday and they vote on a Tuesday. Why isn't that out two or three meetings ahead so people have a chance, so people know this is going to be voted on in three meetings from now, and therefore they have a chance to come in and talk to the city council in that open period, whether it's at the beginning or the end?
Who voted for the public comment to go to the end of the city council meetings?
You want to bet that there was a 3-2 vote on that?
You think that was that a 3-2 vote? And so the three that voted for it, I'm assuming, would be Bassetti, Missy, and Sullivan, and the people that voted against it were Cad and Jones. Would that be correct?
You want to lay some odds on that one? You know, I can. I'll take that over some of the football games today.
Yeah, absolutely. So that, and the reason I say that is that seems to be one of the problems. I mean, there is has been a attitude on the city council that we don't really care what the people have to say as long as we're running the show.
They say they do, but then they put the public comment at the end, and we know that there's not a lot of people that are able to attend or stay to the end to make their comments.
We need to hear from the people. Yeah. Who's electing us? It's the people.
Right.
And so that's what we need to do is go back and find out what they want. And, you know, I mean, there's things we have to do by law and by statute and, you know, then we do what's morally acceptable and, you know, what's the will of the people has to be part of that formula. And that's where we need to listen to the people and get out and do that.
We're down to a minute, Mike. If you got anything to say, you got 15 seconds, and then we're going to start getting ready to close.
I'm running strong to the end, and actually we can run ads on Tuesday, and so you'll see some of my ads coming out Tuesday to try to influence those people. To everybody who's out there who's already voted through the absentee ballots, I want to thank you for listening, to going through all the debates and hearing and making the decisions. And, you know, let's see what happens Tuesday night. I think I'm going to be at a cabin in the mountains with no electricity and no cell phone.
There you have it. Listen, remember, Reading Tea Party Patriots, or Reading Tea Party, meets every Monday night at 6 p.m., 2570 South Bonneview, Destiny Fellowship of the Church. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark and professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
And to let you know, we have Paul Preston this Monday at 6 p.m.
And we should be on for 2 hours next week from 9 to 11
yep.
from now on.
Yep, you got it. So this is KCNR, 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. The polls indicate Republicans will likely narrowly win back the Senate on Tuesday, and GOP leader Reince Priebus says if it happens, courting minorities can be thanked.
We're doing a lot of the things that we should be doing, which is engaging Hispanic voters, black voters, Asian voters, talking to women across the country, not just for 4 months before an election, but for 4 years, the things I've been talking about and, by the way, leading the way on in our party for the last 2 years.
He was a guest on ABC TV today. The Senate Appropriations Committee planning a hearing on Ebola funding the day after Congress gets back to Washington after the midterms.
It's an afternoon hearing set for November 12th. Witnesses will include Health and Human Services Secretary Sylvia Matthews-Burwell and Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson, CDC Director Dr. Thomas Frieden, and the Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, Dr. Anthony Fauci, also will attend. This hearing is the first...